Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am Cody Diener and I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer. I am a professional motivational speaker. I am also a father to four amazing children, a husband to one beautiful wife. And I am tired. Oh, I got to admit, I'm tired. I've had a week, guys, but an awesome week. But it's an awesome week that has led to me being tired. But even though I'm tired, I'm bringing you this podcast because I'm a professional podcaster. Yes, I'm a pro because I'm getting paid just a little bit. I guess I'm getting paid a little bit of money, both from my sponsors, Rest When Dead Clothing. You can go check out their awesome merch at restwhendead.ca. Check them out on Instagram at Rest When Dead Clothing. I'm also making a little bit of money from my patrons over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You've already listened to this awesome interview already. If you're a patron over there, because you get everything early and ad free. But why am I tired? Let me tell you why I'm tired. I just spent the last week in Las Vegas, Nevada. Why was I there? Well, I got to make an impact. If you go to impactwrestling.com/making an impact, you can see that Impact Wrestling now, soon to be as of January 13th at Hard to Kill, once again, TNA Wrestling. We don't just go into communities and put on shows. We go into communities and try to make a difference. I was part of that this week by visiting some boys and girls clubs of Southern Nevada and just share my story, my journey with them. A lot like we do here in this podcast, how I bring people on here to share their story and journey. I did that for some kids in Southern Nevada. Took some pictures with them, spent some time with them, gave them some free tickets to the shows coming up in Las Vegas, just put some smiles on faces. It was a wonderful trip. I feel very blessed and honored that I got to do it. And a really cool thing about this trip, this is very rare. I don't do this really almost ever, but I got to bring Mrs. Diener with me. And we just had a whirlwind couple days. We squeezed as much as possible into the trip as we could. We went to the Grand Canyon. We went to the Hoover Dam. We drove through the Valley of Fire. We went to a couple Cirque du Soleil shows, and it was awesome. But I'm ready to be home. But as soon as I got home after this whirlwind trip, which, by the way, if you haven't been to any of those places, if you haven't seen Grand Canyon, you should. If you haven't been to the Hoover Dam, you should. If you've never even heard of the Valley of Fire, Google it right now. And if you ever get to Nevada near Las Vegas, drive through the Valley of Fire. You won't regret it. But as soon as I got home, there was no rest for the wicked. I had Final Resolution challenging Tommy Dreamer for the Digital Media Championship. I was unsuccessful in that title-winning defense, but focus on the positive rather than the negative. And the positive was I got to be a part of the very final Impact Wrestling event. We put a close to the era of Impact Wrestling, the brand known as Impact Wrestling, and the next time you see me in a ring on television, it will be for TNA Wrestling. You can go check all this out right now at impactwrestling.com, and you'll see that, hey, you can check out Hard to Kill on January 13th. It's coming at you from Las Vegas, and some big news just dropped. That TNA Plus, it's a new streaming experience brought to you by Endeavor Streaming. It's been blowing up the internet. If you're a wrestling fan, you know that this is huge news. And as a member of the TNA wrestling roster, I can say I'm super pumped on the eyeballs that this is going to bring to the product, and that more of the world will know that TNA wrestling has the best wrestling show in the world. Before I talk about one of the best wrestlers in the world, which is my guest today, let me just tell you a couple ways you can support this podcast that is tickling your eardrums right now. You can go on over to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener, buy yourself a t-shirt. You can go to cameo.com/CodyDiener, get yourself a personalized video, get one for a loved one for the holidays. or you can take this one step further. You can become a patron. Give me a couple bucks for listening to this show over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You head on over there. You get all the back catalog, the archives of all of my guests and future guests as well, early and ad-free, including today's episode. You can listen to today's episode with no advertisements, as well as next week's episode. It's already up there at patreon.com/CodyDiener with, like I said, today's amazing guest, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Deonna Purrazzo, the virtuosa. She's done it all, guys. This woman has been an ROH champion. She's been a AAA champion. She's been the Impact Knockouts champion, the Impact Knockouts tag team champion. She's been in the WWE. She's been in NXT. Oh, this girl's done it all. And now she's a busy woman. She is here on this podcast to talk about some things that I'm pretty sure she does not normally talk about on podcasts. This is one thing that I love about this project, is not only do I have my friends and coworkers and people that I respect greatly come onto this show, but they are open and honest and willing to tell me things that they won't tell, I guess, a typical podcast host or a typical person that's the host of a wrestling podcast. Because what you are about to hear in this conversation is exactly why I started this podcast. This isn't a wrestling podcast. It's also a life podcast. Why? Because wrestling is life, and life is wrestling. And we can get a lot of valuable lessons from wrestling and the people that are in wrestling. And you're going to get some of those lessons because Deonna has opened up in this conversation. And I learned some things from her today about her life that I didn't know. I also learned some things about myself through listening to her and the life lessons that we can all take away from the example of Deonna. She's very open with her successes. And what I very much enjoyed was her vulnerability of opening up about her failures. If you get something from today's episode, please hit me up at Cody Diener on my social media. Tag Deonna in him too. Let her know what you got from today's podcast. And I will share it, maybe even on this show. You know what? I'm going to do that right now because it's already happened with one of my patrons. One of my patrons, I want to give a shout out to Thomas Ray Ellingberg. Thomas Ray went on Twitter after listening to today's interview, today's conversation with Deonna, is already gone on Twitter and told the world this. Listen to the next episode, which is the one you're about to listen to now, and says, and honestly, it's one of my top two favorite interviews ever. And then Thomas went on to say, I'm not saying who it is, but I believe that she's the greatest women's wrestler of all time. You got to go find out more. And then he said, everybody go to patreon.com/CodyDiener. Thomas Ray, thank you for hyping my stuff for me. I appreciate it. And Thomas said that this podcast is literally what I listen to on my hour and a half long drive to work. And it makes me feel like I'm not alone listening to people like Steve Macklin, Josh Alexander, guys that inspire me daily and that I can relate to, and listening to Crazy Steve's story because I've been there. It makes me feel that although wrestlers have felt like superheroes to me since I was a kid, it makes me realize that they're just like me. And they fight every day like I do, and they have a platform to help others. Wow. Thomas Ray, thank you for that post on Twitter. Thank you for being a patron, and thank you for helping me realize that this podcast is doing exactly what I want it to do. Spread some positivity and help some people. Help some wrestling fans like you realize that, hey, us wrestlers, we have real lives, and we can help others in their real life simply by talking about the thing that we love, and that's professional wrestling. Let's continue to spread that love with today's guest, my friend and soon to be yours, Deonna Purrazzo. All right, I think we're good. Are we good, Deonna?
We're good.
We're good. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Very much appreciate this. I have to say this off the top. The one thing I'm very excited about is you are the very first couple team that I've had on my show, because I've had, because I had Steve on. I'm very excited to have you on as a,
I love that.
as a side by side couple episode, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I got to come up with some better marketing thing to call it rather than a couple episode, but like, I love that. So now I guess the positive of that is now I know that we can really learn the truth about Steve Macklin now. Today, any of the stuff he was trying to put over on us on our conversation, now we can get to the truth.
And I listened to the conversation, so I know exactly what he said.
Exactly. So now we can get all the truth. Hey, he had not. We had a really good, I want to say mushy conversation about our wives. I don't know if mushy is the right word, but he had. Both of us had a lot of really nice things to say about. Respective wives and how you have done nothing but better our lives. And I know that he wasn't just saying that. Were you listening to it live? Were you in the room when he was
No. So whatever you tweeted and he retweeted. So I have a habit of doing that, like listening to all of Steve's interviews, because he doesn't have, like, his brain thinks faster than he can get his words out. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, I don't want to say I coach him, but before he goes in and does media with Impact or sits down and does these types of interviews, I have to tell him, like, 5 C's, babe, cool, calm, collected, confident, concise. And so I just like to see how he does them and, like, kind of coach him then thereafter of, like, okay, you said this word a lot, or say this way, or, you know, things like that.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Okay. So who taught you these 5 C's? Like, I have an educational background. So, like, stuff like that, I really is interesting to me. Did somebody tell you that? Like, did you learn this in media coaching? Like, where did you come up with that or get that from to coach me on that? That's interesting.
I don't know specifically. I feel like I was a teacher before wrestling became my full-time job to preschool students. So I feel like I'm really good at, like, coming up with those kind of, like, I don't know what they're called off the top of my head, but, like, things just to jog your memory.
Or, yeah, acronyms. And yes.
And then also I've been in college getting a degree for, like, the last 2 years. So I think my brain is just kind of, like, in that mode still of, like, how can I make this simple and, like, effective for you? And that way you don't forget it. And I also think coming into Impact, it was a whole new world for him. He had never gotten a chance to, like, sit down and do media. And, you know, with WWE, of course, he got the media training, but he didn't always get the time to implement the tools that he learned. So I think it was just me trying to, like, watch his back and be like, how can we take not necessarily your faults, but things you're not great at and improve on them every time. And I want to be a part of that. And I want to help you do that. I want you to put your best foot forward. So I don't know where I learned that, but I think just throughout, like, my school and teaching and learning, I've been able to pick up little things that help me so I can pass them along.
Okay. I am excited at what I just learned about you. I had no idea that you were involved in teaching before you got into wrestling. Like, me too. I've had a teaching degree for 15 years and it was my, I guess, kind of plan B backup plan for me. I started independent wrestling when I was 18. So my last year of high school. So all throughout university, I was doing indie wrestling. I had WWE dark matches during university where I had lied to my professor and got out of an exam and said, oh, my brother's getting married. No, I had to go wrestle Kurt Angle on SmackDown. I was not getting married. But, like, so that's just an interesting world on its own. But this project I'm doing is talking about how wrestling and life collide in all these great positive ways. And I was just thinking, as you were saying, I know for me, there's so many things that I've learned in my life as a teacher, trying to portray something to students, young people, get something across, help them remember it, that I've been able to use to my advantage in the wrestling world, right? Like, everything you're just saying, like, these 5 C's, you're kind of really coaching your husband on how to do an effective promo. All of those things apply, right? Yeah. And the same things that apply to doing an effective in-ring promo apply when you're standing up in front of a class of in your case, preschool students, go, okay, how do I simplify this and reach every one of them? And I know Billy over there likes it when I do this song and dance, but Sally doesn't like the song and dance. She likes me to do this or that. Like all of those things, thinking on your feet. There's so many applications that just, you just mentioning that you taught just like lit a fire in my brain and go, oh my God, we could probably talk for an hour just about that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like, and I was doing the same thing. Like I graduated high school when I was 18, started to go to community college in New Jersey, was working at, you know, preschool, and then also trying to wrestle full time. And that went on for years where I was upfront with my bosses and just said like, this job is to get me through wrestling. Like this will afford me to be able to wrestle on the weekends. That's my goal. I want to be a professional wrestler. So if that's not going to work for you, then this job isn't for me, but I'm just going to give you a heads up. Like I do need time off. I will need an occasional Monday or an occasional Friday to be able to do extra work. And they were so gracious with being able to make it work for me and give me the time off I needed. But yeah, it was like, I'm working till, you know, 6 p.m. on a Friday, and then I'm sitting in traffic to get to Long Island so I could wrestle at NYWC that night. Like, I went through all those same things, but the goal was always like, I'm going to use whatever I do in my real life to be a professional wrestler and do that the best I can, because that was the job I wanted. That was the only job I've ever wanted.
Yeah, I can relate to that wholeheartedly. For me, what happened was, I realized, okay, I need a job to support my wrestling habit. And so much like you, I'm like, okay. And I got a teaching degree and I wasn't even going to use it. I was like, no, I'm going to go all in. Cause I had a lot of friends that their mentality was, don't have a plan B, because if you have a plan B, then you might not go as hard into the plan A because you have this kind of safety net. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to have a plan B. And then I found myself with zero money, having to move back in with my mom and like, wait a minute, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be that guy with, I'm going to follow my dreams and have this plan A, but like ask my parents to support me. Like that's not how I roll. I'm like, no, I have to be able to support myself and this wrestling habit to make this happen. So I ended up using my teaching degree, and I got where I'm from in Canada, I know it's different in certain parts of the States, but you could be a substitute teacher, but you have to have a teaching degree to do a substitute teaching in Canada. Yeah, I know in the States you don't have to, but in Canada you do, and the money is really good, and but you're basically like an indie teacher, because it's like every day you could get a call and like the teacher's like, oh, can you come in and supply and substitute for me on these days? And I can say yes or no. I can take the booking or I don't have, or I can take it or not. So it would end up being perfect for me because I could control my schedule.
Yeah.
But for you, did I ever cross your mind in terms of like this plan A, plan B thing? Like, oh, maybe I'm not pushing as hard because, well, I have a degree and I have this job. Or was that, like you said, nope, this is going to actually help me get that plan A because I need this thing to just support it financially, but I'm not really striving towards that. I'm all tunnel vision on this goal. You know what I'm saying? Was that something that crossed your mind?
I think when I grew up, like all the wrestlers wrote books, right? And they all talked, and I had every single one of them.
Me too. Every single one.
I think having a plan B was always emphasized in all those books. And I think that as a young kid who was like 9 saying, I'm going to be a professional wrestler, it was also really important for me to have that plan B because we do get hurt. And, you know, we never know when that might be career ending. And so I think for me, it was always like, I do still want to go to college and I do want to get a college degree. And I don't know, at the time it was for exercise science or kinesiology, but it was like wrestling might not always be there. And I need to have a backup plan for after wrestling, I think was my mentality. Like I'm a woman, I want to be a mom. I can't be a wrestler for the rest of my life. So the window I have for this is really short, and I'm going to give 100% to my plan A because I only have maybe 20 years to make this thing real and to get to a level I want to be at. But But on the flip side of that, after those 20 years is up, I still have a whole life to live. So what can I do then after if it can't be in wrestling? And I think that was ingrained in me from a young kid. So that's kind of always been my mentality. But like, yes, teaching or, you know, doing whatever will support my wrestling habit, but it will also give me some kind of outlet when wrestling can't be my job anymore.
Yeah. What? That's, you sound like a very thoughtful, astute person, because for me, I've never been a planner. Like, even with like me and my wife, we got married and then we're like, we knew we wanted to have kids, but we're like, we didn't have like, oh, we know how many we want. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't know we were done until we had our fourth child. I'm like, okay, I think we're done now, right? But we weren't like, oh, thinking about any, like, kind of planning for that. And then for me, I was like, oh, I want to be a wrestler. That's the only thing I know I want to do. So it was like, okay, I did that. And then it was like the next thing. But I never thought like, oh man, I only have this window, which I think is a really good mentality, and for any young wrestlers or young business people or anyone listening to this, especially women, like you said, because that window's so much shorter if you want to have a family and all those things. Like, it's, I just didn't think that way. Is that a way you've always been? Because you said, you know, since you were nine, you wanted to do this. And my first thing that pops in my head was, what was 9-year-old Deanna like?
I think I've kind of always been a planner. Like I said, okay. At nine, it was like I printed out paperwork and I was like, at 15, I could go to a wrestling school. Oh, I just need you to sign for it, Mom. Like, and my mom was like, absolutely not. Like, and when Steve and I started dating, we kind of had this conversation where I had just been through like a really bad breakup. I was in NXT. I was like, just in this weird space of like, I don't know what life has in store for me because I don't really love wrestling anymore. And I kind of don't like myself right now. And there's a lot of work I need to do. And Steve wanted to be in a relationship. And I was like, I'm not ready for that. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, like, I've planned my entire life up until this point. Like, I was nine going to be living in Florida because that's, you know, like when NXT came to Florida, the only place I saw myself was living in Florida. I was going to work for WWE. I was going to do all these things. Like, I just need a beat to not plan my life because I've planned every move that I've made to get me where I am. And I don't like where I am. So like, I think that was 25, 26 years old. I'm going to be 30 this coming year. Like, I think the last 4 years I've been able to like, let go and let God and just like, know that I'm going to end up where I'm supposed to end up. And I don't need to control it as much because 18-year-old getting into wrestling, Deanna was so focused on the end goal and not necessarily the journey because I just knew like tunnel vision, this is where I need to be. I'm doing everything to get me here. And then I got there and it was like, this sucks.
Mm.
So let me flip my script and try something new.
Good for you, man. I think about all the things you just said so much. Like, I know for me, I have found that when you're so driven, and I can relate to every single thing you're saying, I had this tunnel vision too, where it's like, okay, if I can just get this, then that I've achieved that goal and I want to get that goal. And in my mind, even without saying it out loud, I think I'm thinking, well, that's going to make me happy and I'm going to be fulfilled. All the things that I've always wanted for me since I was five, I'm like, okay, that'll get me the thing that I want. And then I get there, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. None of those feelings and emotions have accompanied this achievement.
Yeah.
Now what? And then for me, it's always been, okay, well, then it's the next. So then I do the next goal. And then, okay, and then I achieve that. And I go, oh, wait, same thing. None of these really super positive feelings are coming along with this. And I think probably for me, I really like what you said, you know, let go and let God kind of take control and like, let's see where I go. I'm a true believer in that everything happens for a reason and you end up where you're supposed to end up. But sometimes you end up where you are supposed to end up. God's put you in a certain spot, but you're like, no, that's not the plan. No. I wrote this in my journal when I was nine and I'm going to do this. So then you do it. And then you only, I think sometimes with age and hindsight, do you realize, oh, wait a minute, all those things that I thought mattered, maybe it's not that they don't matter, but it's like that maybe they don't matter as much. All right, we're going to take a pause from this conversation to talk to somebody who I love having on my show, and I know that my listeners love having them on my show as well. I want to welcome back to the show my sweet, lovely daughter. And what is your name, sweet, lovely daughter?
Hallie.
Yes, how old are you, Hallie?
7.
Oh, my 7-year-old daughter, Hallie. Thank you for coming on here and talking to me and to my listeners at this wonderful time of the year. What time of year is it? What special things coming up here soon?
Christmas.
Oh, do you like Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love Christmas. I remember when I was 7, you know what I wanted when I was 7 more than anything?
What?
I asked for a trampoline. Because I wanted to be a wrestler, and I knew I could just wrestle on a trampoline. And you know what I got when I was 7 years old?
Trampoline?
Yeah, but you know how big it was?
I don't know.
It was small. It was what's called an exercise trampoline. And I was so disappointed. You guys wanted a trampoline. Did I get you an exercise trampoline?
No.
No. What kind of trampoline do we have?
A big one.
Yeah, we got a big one. You've been bouncing on it, even though we're in Canada and it's cold. You guys still go outside and you bounce on the trampoline, don't you?
Yeah. What? We just break one rule.
Oh.
Just keep on our shoes.
Oh, we break one rule. That's okay, though, in Canada when it's so cold. You know, some of our listeners, they're in, like, another country. Some of them are in Sweden. Some of them are in Mexico. Or they're in, like, countries, Wait. Parts of the United States where it's really warm down south. There's people, like, in Florida listening to this right now.
But
okay,
well, on a trampoline, we make another rule.
Oh, you break another rule?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you're letting everybody know the rules we're breaking? That's fine. I'm interested. I think they are, too. They want to know what other rule we break.
We break the rule.
Oh, hold your microphone up so everybody hears you. They want to hear this rule.
It says on the tag that you're only supposed to have, like, 2 people on a trampoline.
Oh, yeah. We only ever have 2. We don't break that rule, do we?
No. Sometimes we have 10 people on a trampoline.
10?
Yeah.
We have. We've had parties that just had, like, 10 people on
trampoline. Or 9, because if we have... The McKilsons over.
Oh, yes.
They have 5, but then us, we have 4, so that would make 9.
That's right. So when we have other families over, we just break the rules. That's fine. You know why I think it's okay to break rules?
Why?
Because I'm a heel. Do you know what that means?
No.
A heel is when you're a bad guy wrestler, and you just break all the rules. You don't care. Am I a bad guy?
No.
You don't think I'm a bad guy because I'm your dad. I'm not a bad guy when I'm a dad, though. I'm not a heel. A heel dad would not be fun to have a heel dad. No, I'm definitely a baby face dad. You know what a baby face means?
No.
Baby face is a good guy. Am I a good guy, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you something because Christmas is coming up. I wanted to tell my listeners about something and then give you a chance to say something maybe about it and also Christmas in general, but... I want to tell my listeners about a wonderful website called ceofit.ca. And at that website, they can get supplements, they can get seasonings for their food, they can get different supplements for their brain function, not just for their muscles. So if they want to jump on the trampoline for a really long time, then they can do that. So I think for Christmas, if anyone wants to get supplements, or they want to get seasonings, or they want to get brain function supplements, and they want to get that for their family, what website should they go to?
CEOFIT.ca.
Yes, it's .ca because it's in Canada. Cool thing about their shipping is if you're in...
J-J-J-J-J.
Yep. And if they go to that website and they're in Canada and they spend over $120...
They get a free shipping.
That's right. What do they get?
Free shipping.
That is amazing. Free shipping. That's to our very special Canadian listeners who are currently jumping on trampolines all across Canada in this very cold winter, but they break the rule and they keep their boots on while they jump on the trampoline because it's cold, and that's okay because they're in cold Canada.
Yeah.
Now, Christmas is coming up. What do you want for Christmas, Hallie?
My two front teeth.
Well, you're already getting one of your front teeth that's growing in. I see it right now with that big smile. So you want your 2 front teeth. What else do you want? I've seen what you've put on your list, but maybe tell our listeners, what's one thing that you'd like for Christmas?
New backpack.
A new backpack? You know, listeners, I just need you to know that my daughter Hallie is so smart, and she's so cool, that she doesn't say something insane like a big giant trampoline, like I said when I was 7, even though she already has one of those. But she just loves learning, and she wants a new backpack. What color backpack? Do you have a preference?
Blue.
Oh, you want a blue backpack. All right, so maybe we can have you on in a couple weeks. We'll let our listeners know if you end up getting a blue backpack for Christmas or not. And in that blue backpack, do you know what you could put on there? If our listeners got a blue backpack, you know what they could put in that blue backpack? Supplements from a very cool website. What website could they put their supplements in that backpack from?
CEOFit.ca.
So where should our listeners go? What website?
CEOFit.ca.
Thank you so much for being here today, Hallie. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you too. Can you say bye to our listeners?
Bye and Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. Bye and Merry Christmas. Let's say that again nice and loud. Don't whisper that. Let's let everybody know. Say bye and Merry Christmas. I like that.
Bye and Merry Christmas.
Was that hard for you to flip the script, as you say? Because I'm just trying to get a sense. I don't want to put you in a box, but I'm like thinking, okay, what was 9-year-old Deanna like? And if I was not the person that kind of wrote everything in a journal, like, this is the way it's going to be, I think it's fascinating that you did that and accomplished those goals, for one. And I think a lot of people can learn from that, because some people are like that. And if you're like that and that works for you and you just manifest something and make it happen, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I also have a sense that if that is the type of person you were since you were 9, to then all of a sudden go, actually, you know what? No more writing stuff down and being a planner. Was that really hard for you?
Yeah. So one of my last high school assignments was to like write a letter to yourself. And I think it was 5 years or 10 years, whatever it was.
Oh, interesting.
And one of my best friends from growing up gave me that letter a couple years ago. And in that letter, it said, you know, like, I hope that you have wrestled on the Indies. I hope you haven't stopped until you're like walking down a ramp with a championship. Like that was my goal. And I manifested that. Like I wrote that down at 18, but I was dreaming of that. Yeah. Since I was 9, and I was printing paperwork to give to my parents to sign, to let me wrestle. Like if I could buy a car at 16, I'll get a job and I could get myself there, and coming up with every plan to like convince my parents that they should let me do this. And it wasn't until I was 18 and I just actually drove a different way to college that day, where I saw a sign that said like live pro wrestling the first Friday of every month. And I was like, oh, like that's indie wrestling. And I've never been to a show. Like I'd like to just go and watch whatever that is. And I Googled it and they had a wrestling school, and it was like, okay, well, I'm going to wrestling school. this is fate, right?
Yes.
But yeah, I wrote all those things down and I said like, that's my vision. I'm going to achieve that. And if I'm not there in 5 or 10 years, then I need to keep going, because that's where I want to be. But then I think it was easier just because I was in such a negative space personally and professionally to just kind of be like, I don't know what's next, and we're just going to like take what comes. And, you know, what was next was coming to Impact. But I was very upfront with Scott D'Amore about, you know, like, I don't know if signing a contract is the best thing for me. I don't know if I want to do that. I'm just kind of like here to feel it out and see how I feel in this space, how I interact with the people, how my coworkers feel about me. I just don't know. So let's like give it a couple months and go from there and see. Like, I don't want to be tied down. I don't want you to be tied down to me. I just want to like let go and see where I end up. And yeah, obviously that was the best thing I've ever done for myself, was to just like let that relationship form naturally and not feel pressure. And yeah. I think I've also just like Deanna the wrestler has benefited 100,000% from that. But I think Deanna the person has been so fulfilled by my relationship there, and just kind of letting it develop naturally instead of like manifesting like, I need this to happen, I need this to happen. I've just kind of been like, that's going to happen and that's cool. Okay, I can't control it and I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between, I listen to a lot of motivational things, and they talk about have a vision board and stay the task, and I think there's a, and you just manifest it into being. And I've never been like that. I'm not a vision board writer down type of thing. I kind of just take things as they come. I wish I was like that, but I just never have been. But I think there's a fine line between, you know, vision manifestation and control freak.
I'm a control freak.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So then knowing that, okay, I always have to be in control, but then letting go can be tough for a lot of people.
I think also too, like, I like sought therapy and like professional help to really kind of like aid myself through this process. And then when I stopped going, I felt like, okay, I'm good. I'm in a good space mentally, professionally, emotionally, all these things. I don't need it anymore. And then actually come January, I was like, I'm going to go back to therapy because I just feel like I need an unbiased person to talk to about everything in my life, especially wrestling, because we are public figures in some ways. And I think to the public, there's a lot of like preconceived notions about what we do. So finding someone who doesn't know anything about wrestling was really beneficial to me. But then also to teach me, like, there's a lot of gray area. And like, you can be on both sides of the spectrum and not be in control, but know both things are okay. And I really struggle with that. So I think just like having that person that I can see, you know, once a month, and just kind of like bring me back to like leveled ground has really been beneficial for me.
First of all, thank you for mentioning or being vulnerable enough to say that you go to therapy. Because I think a lot of people, there's still a little bit of a stigma, not as much as there used to be, but even a little bit to even just, I want to say admit that you go to the therapy. That's not the right word, but it used to be like, oh, you have to admit you're doing that. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's my generation. Like, I'm, you know, 10 years older than you. So it's like, from my generation, it's like, you don't talk about that. Yeah. But I think we've learned so much really just in the last 5-10 years, how important it is to go seek help. I think that's wonderful that you did. I want to ask this, but you don't have to answer it and we can just kind of move on. But I'm curious, like, what was it, wrestling that got you into this negative space? Did wrestling beat you down? Was there something particular that happened, or, you know what I mean? To get to that thing where you needed to flip the script?
Yeah, a lot of it was wrestling.
Yeah.
I think going to NXT and I had worked, like, I had my first like tryout dark match, whatever, with WWE when I was 19 years old. And so it was a long process of like, am I going to get signed? Okay, I think they're going to sign me. No, they're not going to sign me. Okay, maybe this time. No, now I have a real tryout. This is my opportunity. And it was always more of a like, you're great and we love you and we'll have you back, but like, not right now. And I kept going back. I had wrestled on Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, I was La Luchadora at one point before Mickey came back. And, you know, I just felt like finally when I got signed, I was 23, I believe. 2018. And I was like, this is it. Like, they finally see the star in me. They finally understand me. Like, they said, yes, I need to try this. And, I felt like when I went, it was like, I felt like I had earned maybe more than I got the minute I got there. And it was kind of like a bit of a letdown. So I was like, okay, like, let's reevaluate. Right. And then they asked for, we need you to be a character. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. So I was like, okay, let's put in all the work. Let's like, I don't want to leave any box unchecked. And if this doesn't work out, then at least I know I did everything I could have done to say like, well, it wasn't me. Like, maybe it was me, but I tried to do everything to appease and it still didn't work out. Right. And I just felt like everything I did wasn't good enough. It was like, we need a character. You're too much of a character. We need you to be more real. But like, I don't really believe your real story. And finally I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, is this such a mind game?
Yeah.
And, you know, then like I went through a really bad breakup and it kind of like people picked sides. And then like someone in NXT had used my real life situation against me at work. And that kind of like was my last straw of like, I'm in this hole that like shouldn't even be affecting work. And now it is. And like, this is someone I thought was my really good friend and clearly has never been my friend. And like, just all these things happened that went back to like higher ups in NXT, and it was finally like, okay, so now I'm not getting raises, now I'm not moving on to the next class, now I'm not being used on TV. There's nothing I can do differently here because now everyone's made up their mind about me.
Yep.
And I also, on the flip side of that, was very vocal about like, I don't think I'm being treated fairly. I think you're overlooking me. I think that you're not paying attention to the work that I am putting in, and I'm not being rewarded for that. And if there's like a merit system here, an award system, like I'm not benefiting. So why am I continuing to do the work? Like, I just kind of stayed at like level one for the entire 2 years. Mm. And I watched other people level up who I think I offer similar things as, and similar experiences and work rate, and like they're growing and I'm not, and I'm not okay with that. So just tell me what the problem is so I can fix it. Or if I can't fix it, then let me leave. And I think just that mind game, that circle of like, there was nothing I could have done that I felt that I could have done. And I was very angry and I was very vocal and I said a lot of things I shouldn't have said. And, you shouldn't curse at your boss. I could say that. Like, you know, I know that I was in the wrong a bunch, but it was also because I felt like I'm being fucked with.
Yeah.
And I'm New Jersey to my core. Like, you want to fucking go, then let's fucking go.
Yeah.
I hope we're allowed to curse.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
so I think I just spun almost out of control, and I felt like I have no control here. And I feel myself like with crazy anxiety and crazy panic, and like to the point that I don't even want to go to work. And when I get to the building, I'm freaking out about having to go inside. And this just isn't the right place for me.
Yes. I just had a conversation with a buddy of mine that was on the podcast, Sean Spears.
Yeah.
And I've known him for 20 years. And he said a very simple phrase that he tells his students at his wrestling school, but it just popped into my mind as you were talking, is that he said, in wrestling, we're working for the maybes. Because everything is a maybe, right? It's like, maybe this will happen, or maybe you'll get to this next level. That's really hard if you're a control freak, number one, right? Because you're like, it's like, just tell me what to do. And I'll do that step, and then that gets me to the next level. And it's like, okay, well, maybe it will. Like, what do you mean maybe it will? Like, no, if there's a system, I will do the system, and then that gets me to the next level. There's no maybe about it. But we live and operate, you and I, in this crazy world that I don't think a lot of people that are listening to this, unless you're in the business, you don't understand that, like, all of the things that go along with it. It's not like school where it's like, hey, here's a test. Mm-hmm. Get this mark on this test. Then you graduate with honors, or you get this amount of money in the scholarship because you got this score. Okay, well, I know how to get that score. I can do this, this, and this. And I get that score, and then I get rewarded for it. Wrestling isn't like that because we're dealing with people. We're dealing with politics. We're dealing with insecurities, narcissism, everything that goes along with humans, but crank it to 11 because we're dealing with people that have to wrestle with next to no clothing on television. So then all of those insecurities and narcissisms and then dreams of, since you're young, like, oh my gosh, it's just this like stew of potential negative madness. And if it boils over, sometimes it does. And then it's like, oh my God, how do I even navigate these waters? I know everything you're talking about because I'm in it, and I don't think a lot of people understand it.
Yeah.
But like, how frustrating that can be, because I want to say good for you, because some people, when you even though you swore at your boss, it's good for you to be like, no, just tell me what to do. Cause I'm like that too. Just tell me, like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Just tell me what to do. What hurts my feelings is I do all the things I think I'm supposed to be doing, and then I don't get anywhere, and I'm just treading water. That's what hurts me. Just tell me what to do right now so I can get to that next level. So good for you, because some people never do that. And I think you're gonna live with regret if you don't do that. Because like you said, you said it earlier, I don't ever want to like look back and not check the boxes. And be like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. Like, you needed to go to those people and say, just tell me what to do. Because if you didn't, you probably would be sitting here. You probably have regrets going, oh, I should have spoke up or I should have done this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always been taught to just like stand up for yourself. You're your biggest advocate. And mm-hmm. I feel like I was so beaten down and no one was advocating for me. I actually think people were probably doing the opposite of that, yep. that it was like, if no one's going to do anything for me, I have to find that within myself and I have to be the person who did it. And if it turns out bad, then that's okay too. But I was in such a bad space that like, it couldn't have gotten any worse. It was just like, I need out of this place. And you know, I did get released. I didn't ask for my release, but you know, like 3 weeks before that, I had kind of said like, if we're not going to improve on this, then what are we doing? Like, just let me go. I don't want to be here. You don't, guys clearly don't want me here. So let's just end this, you know? And, so when I got the phone call that I was released, it was like, oh, a 203 number is calling me. I'm getting fired right now.
We are going to stop right there. That's a cliffhanger for you. We're right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of Deonna Purrazzo opening up about her release from the WWE, how that went down, and her role in it. And you're going to learn a little bit more next week for part two of this conversation, her exact role in this, what she's learned from this failure in her life and all the lessons that it taught her and how she was able to keep pushing forward and continue being positive and do some amazing things in her career. This is just part one. Come back next week. Part two is even better. If you don't want to wait until next week, you're like, Cody, why are you making me wait till next week for part two? Why do you do this every week? This cliffhanger making me want to just wait 7 more days till next Thursday for the part two to drop. You don't have to. I'm not making you do that. What can you do? Well, I'll tell you exactly what you can do. Head on over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and listen to the full conversation or watch the full conversation right now. It's up in both video and audio format over at patreon.com/CodyDiener, and you're helping support this project that I'm doing each and every week for my fans. You can watch the video over there, like I said, and if you do, you can see what I'm wearing on my head right now. It's a Cody Diener signature hat, part of the signature series. I got Rest When Dead hats. I got a Rest When Dead t-shirt available both in black and red. The two t-shirts that are behind me, if you're seeing this on video, as well as the one that I'm wearing right now, it's all available on restwhendead.ca. You can check out all their collection at Rest When Dead Clothing on Instagram. Once you do that, you'll see that, hey, I'm not the only signature series athlete, sponsored athlete by Rest When Dead. We've got Jody Threat, we've got Crazy Steve, and they have brand new t-shirts that just dropped. Go check them out there on restwhendead.ca. That's one way you can support this podcast, by supporting Rest When Dead, or you can head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener, get yourself a new Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling logo t-shirt. Go to cameo.com/CodyDiener, get yourself a video or get one for a loved one for this holiday season. Become a patron, like I said, over on patreon.com. Get the entire back catalog as well as bonus stories, both in video and audio format with all of our past guests like Josh Alexander, Crazy Steve, Joe Hendry, Jessica Havoc, oh, and so much more. It's all over on patreon.com/CodyDiener. Oh, like I said at the top of this podcast, guys, I'm tired. I'm tired, but I feel energized by this conversation here today with Deonna, part one. Part two comes at you next week. Before next week's episode, in between that time and now, drop me a line over at Cody Diener on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Do the same with Deonna. Let her know that you listen to this episode and that you appreciate her vulnerability and her openness, and that she was able to teach you things that you had never thought before. And if you already knew it, you knew it even more from today's conversation. And that is the same thing you're going to learn next week when you come back and you listen to Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling. We'll see you next week, guys.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. is wrestling.